Struggling to keep track of your story and world? Archivos is for you. More intuitive than a wiki, more extensible than Scrivener, Archivos builds your story Bible into your personal, always-on tactical display. Graphical relationship charting, continuity tools, this thing has it all, with bonus options for fan engagement and real-time collaboration. Archivos. Story world management done right. www.archivos.digital. That's www.archivos.digital. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Welcome to The Questions, episode 853. Today, Brad asks,
your recent episode about art and artists came when I was thinking about censorship. Ooh. Do you think the way things have been going with destroying history and even to the point of burning and banning some books will get worse? Is censorship of writers going to happen like it is happening on social platforms now?
Oh, I expect so. It comes and goes over history. We've been in a remarkably free time, and the worm on that started to turn back with the erotica panics in 2012, and it's just been getting worse. I expect it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better again, but, you know, it's happened before, and the thing about censorship is it does provide you good opportunities for evading censorship while putting forth interesting ideas.
And it also gives you a very convenient list of books that are almost guaranteed to be more interesting than anything else on the market.
True, true. If you read Fahrenheit 451, Ray Bradbury nails the dynamic of censorship very, very well. When I think it's Garrett, or is it Barrett? It's been a long time since I read it, but Montag's boss explaining to Montag why the firemen do what they do, going around burning books. It's because the people don't want to think about things that make them uncomfortable. They want one opinion that they can trust. The idea of having controversy is exhausting and confusing, and they don't like it. And so they have, in that world, collectively demanded one after another idea, subject, art form be unilaterally censored for the sake of a quiet life. Censorship is often imposed from the top by the powers that be, but in the modern world, it is only imposed from the top after there's a groundswell from below. And we have been seeing, since the mid-90s especially, first on the right and then on the left, and now on different subjects on the right and the left, massive demands for curtailing the Overton window, for censoring different ideas and different kinds of people, because we currently have a culture that doesn't have a good sense of itself, and so is trying desperately to manufacture stability and certainty in the midst of an uncertain time. The more uncertain the times get, the more censorious things will become. When things stabilize again, I suspect things will open up. That's the way things tend to go. Censorship is a consequence of a culture that is in some kind of crisis. And our culture is almost all crisised out at the moment. So, yeah, I would expect that it's going to get pretty bad and that some of us may have to go to writing under pen names if we accidentally get ourselves banned as authors. Individual works, individual genres, individual subjects, yeah, I think they're probably going to see the ban hammer come down one way or another from time to time, at least sporadically, if not consistently, over the next several years. I don't think it's going to last our whole lives. I think things will get better. We do still have an unprecedented in history, even in American history, an unprecedented amount of freedom of speech, despite the fact that everyone seems to want to curtail speech in some fashion. Best thing you can do about that, other than making sure you got a few pen names handy that you can jump to, is to not put up with it, especially to resist the temptation to join the crowd when you think the calls for censorship are calling to censor something that's genuinely bad. Because the thing about freedom of speech is that a lot of ideas are genuinely awful. Most ideas are genuinely awful. The reason that freedom of speech is important is that, like with technology, it's very difficult to tell a priori what ideas are genuinely awful. You kind of only get to find out through testing them against reality in the marketplace of ideas. So when you feel yourself thinking, oh my God, those racists ought to be shut up, or holy shit, someone wrote a YA book with sex in it that is so borderline pedophilic, I can't stand it, or I can't believe this book is advocating closed borders, or I can't believe this book is advocating socialism, whatever your particular pet hate is, resist the temptation to join the crowd that is trying to make the subject, the author, or a given book illegitimate. Instead, stand up for the right of the person who is wrong, who is your enemy, to speak things you think are awful and argue against them. The best remedy for bad ideas is being countered by good ideas and careful thought. One of the other things is, most people who have the brain power to advance original ideas that sway from the mainstream are going to be wrong about most of them. But the ideas that move culture, that make life better, that get incorporated into the mainstream, all of them were fringe ideas at one point that were execrable to right-thinking people. Most people who have great ideas have one or two in a lifetime of really bad ideas. And it's that cultural dialectic that allows us to filter and sift and discover which ones of those ideas might be worth pursuing. You can't do that until you entertain them and you interrogate them and you engage with them. That's the only way culture works. And if enough people make that a public practice, it does defang the momentum that the censorious nature accumulates. That's what I got. Thanks for the question, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty McKeon, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners. Join the conversation. Submit a question, leave a comment, or a creative death threat. Or find me at jdsawyeronminds.com or hit me at feedback@jdsawyer.net. We can't do it without you.